Would you stand for the reading of the word in the house of the Lord? I felt impressed by God to speak about Jesus being the door. And if you'd go with me to John chapter 10, this is where I feel our assignment is today. I won't be long, but I do want to just speak to you from my heart. I do feel the Lord is a good shepherd. How many know that to be true? And he has said that throughout Scripture, and this passage is no different. I know you know this, but when the Bible was written, there were no separations for chapter and verse. That was added later. So what's taking place in chapter 9 of John is still what's happening in chapter 10. There is a blind man that gets healed on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees don't like it. It goes against their tradition. And then, of course, you get all the way through chapter 9, and then you come to some questioning that takes place of the Pharisees asking, is this right? Is this good? And then Jesus gives this parable, right? It's mainly just a story that he gives of the good shepherd. And he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, depending on the context or the particular translation that you're reading, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Pretty strong words. Turn to your neighbor and tell him strong words. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Are you glad he knows your name? Amen. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I just want to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject of, we have, our door looks different. Our door looks different. Jesus, would you help us as we look into the word and as we spend some time with you, Lord? I pray your presence be here and you help us to get out of the way and help us receive from your word. This is life-giving. It is nourishing. It does not return void. So we thank you for the work it will do. Let it settle in someone's heart and give them courage and hope today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is true that Scripture calls us sheep. Turn to your neighbors, go just say, bah. It's not a good picture. Sheep are very simple. That's the word I want to use. Very simple animals. They need guidance. They need constant care. They need oversight. They need help finding good food. They need help not being afraid of water. This is the kind of thing that God says, ye are like sheep and you've gone astray. This is hard for us to hear because we want to enforce our will on every environment we walk in. Every one of us has manifold gifts and talents, and there's things that we watch happen and we're like, if I was there, if they had let me in the room, I would affect the temperature of the room. Because God called me to be not a thermostat, but he called me to change things that are in the room. So I know we're creative beings because we have a creator, amen? And so there's times when we step into situations and we feel like we know what we need to do. But God has told us that there's different doors that we need to take through humility and service and surrender to Jesus that he might lead us. In this particular passage of Scripture that we're talking about today is Jesus talking to the Pharisees that had a problem with a blind man being healed on the Sabbath. Jesus finds that his disciples are talking about a man in chapter 9. If you want to turn your Bibles there, if you have your Bibles with you, chapter 9 and verse 1 gives the context, maybe a little bit of background, for us to understand better chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. Verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They had a concept in their culture that if you had stuff that was going wrong or an ailment in your body, it was because of someone that sinned before you. Your father or your mother sinned, and therefore you as a child or you as someone that was near them would suffer infirmities because of their sin. And look what Jesus said. He debunks the culture of the day. And I can tell you this, that Jesus always is going to stand countercultural. Amen? No matter what we see in this world, God is always going to be relative, but always going to stand against the culture of the world. And Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." He was saying that it's not their sin. It's a genetic issue. It was a deformation of birth. He did not have eyes. And the reason why I think the guy did not have eyes is because when Jesus went to heal him, he created material from the ground from which we were made in order to produce eyeballs in his head. Now, that seems a little strange, Pastor. Why are we talking about eyeballs? I can tell you this, that when you see Jesus working, he does unorthodox things to throw off the religious people of the world. Amen? So even in our day, when you see God moving in a very special way, often it will throw off the very religious people around us. He'll come in and he'll move and he'll do things that change everything you know about God, because he doesn't want us to get attached to a way of doing things. He wants us to be attached to the way maker. Amen? That he is our door. He is our way out. He is our help. He is our hope. That through the cross we have a doorway. That death became a doorway when Jesus got on that cross. Amen? And he died for you and I. And so I'm grateful that the shepherd leads me through hard things, but also that the shepherd is able to make a way when there is no way. If this man had no eyes, we don't know. But we understand that Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. In other words, he's saying, "I'm the light," he says, "and I must work the things that God has sent me to work." In other words, I demonstrate in the body as Jesus Christ only the things that God can do. That's what he's saying. He said, nobody can put eyes back in somebody's head unless God does it. Nobody can help you out of your situation unless God does it. Nobody can make a door for you when there's no way out unless God does it. Amen. So I know this is a gruesome cross, and I know it was an ugly place, but Jesus was leading us through the cross as a doorway to a new life. Amen. So this is the picture that I want you to see, that we have a different kind of door, that we don't always throw elbows when we walk in a room. We don't always be the one that walks to the front and center, but sometimes God calls us to serve in humility, and somehow in humility he puts us in the places that he wants us to be. He leads us and he guides us. And so the Pharisees get word because the neighbors take this man to them and say, "Hey, this man was healed on the Sabbath." They knew the law. And so Jesus, in verse number 6, he says, "When he had thus spoken that he was the light of the world, He's like, hey, if I'm the light of the world, I could put light in your eyes. And when he had spoken this, he spat on the ground. Most of us would have walked out, right? Like, no, nah, it's okay. Jesus is spitting on the ground and making clay. And you're like, I didn't include this in my prayer. This wasn't part of the miracle I wanted. This was the awkward part of the miracle that I didn't see coming. But Jesus does this. He makes clay of spittle, the Bible says, and he anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means to be sent. So sometimes God will do the miracle immediately, and sometimes God will send you to a place that brings the miracle to you. Sometimes we are sent by God, hello somebody, to places to minister and to do things that God has called us to do. And while we're in the middle of serving a child or in the middle of working at work and speaking with a coworker, suddenly our miracle shows up when we're trying to be sent and serve. Amen? Sometimes God does miracle powers in the midst of us while he's leading us to our own miracle. And so he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. It's a beautiful picture. A man blind being told to go find. Go and find a place to wash. He obviously would know where this is, but he would need to be led to his miracle. And I want to tell you that sometimes the picture of God is him as a good shepherd taking us by the hand as sheep and leading us to a place where the miracle takes place, that he would be the one that takes us to wash at Siloam, that he would be the one that sends us and gives us our miracle. Sheep, of course, in this passage that we read, is the story that he shares because he knows that the Pharisees don't have the best interest of the blind man. They want to keep the power and the control of what's going on in this situation. So they are asking questions, and he answers them with this passage in John that gives us a beautiful picture of Jesus. And he doesn't even say that he is the shepherd until verse number 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So the whole first passage of the parable that Jesus spake unto them, they didn't even understand. But what he's saying is, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you enter in at the door, you are able to come in to the sheepfold. And anyone who does not enter at the door climbs up another way. If you don't understand the context of what's going on here in Scripture, every village in Jerusalem and Judea had something of some kind of sheep fold. It was a pen, really. It was a place to store sheep because they were shepherds. And so shepherds often needed to care for their sheep, but sheep needed full-time protection, 100% care all the time. And so these pens were built, these places were built, where shepherds could bring their sheep out of the fields at night, and they could place them in a sheepfold. And while they're placing them in the sheepfold, they would check over the sheep one at a time. So at night, in the evening, the shepherd would gather his sheep in, and he would stand at the door, and he would look over them. Like Ezekiel said, we pass under the staff of the Lord, or of our God, that he would look over each sheep. And because sheep develop lanolin from their skin as a protective layer, it creates a wax on their wool that protects them from heat and cold, but also from other pestilences. And so sometimes that lanolin would build up, and the shepherd would have to clear the wool and take care of them, or else they literally would die from it. So every night, the shepherd would take time with each individual sheep to look them over, make sure there's no sickness or no rashes or no difficulties or no wounds on the sheep. He knew them by name, and he knew everything about them from top to bottom, from side to side. He knew everything about his sheep. And that is a picture here that they would understand. This story, the reason why Jesus doesn't tell them that he's the good shepherd till verse number 11 is because this story lives in their time period. Jerusalem and Judea was not heavily agricultural because it's built on rock. It's a rock plateau. In fact, Judea and Hebron is about 35 miles. It's about 15 miles wide, and the only thing that lives there is just small grass plants and just rock, and it's wilderness. And so being a shepherd is very difficult. So Jesus is saying that I'm going to lead you into a place where I care for you, where I'll set you aside, I will store you, I will be a good shepherd, and I will keep you in my fold. And not only do they understand this as far as the shepherd is concerned, they know that God gathers his flock in the Old Testament. They understand that the promise of God in the Old Testament is that God will gather a flock from the world and bring them into the kingdom, in which they will see blessing upon blessing and move into an eternal condition of forever blessing. So they knew that God was the shepherd. And when Jesus starts talking about a shepherd, they're thinking Jehovah. They're thinking God Almighty. He's talking about God Almighty. Why aren't we getting to the blind man? But Jesus is sharing the parable, and they don't understand because their reference point is God Jehovah is the good shepherd. And so Jesus is talking about that, and he's talking about God's grace on the sheep. He's talking about, there's a lot of theological things that happen in here, irresistible grace, divine calling, Jesus' process or possession of authority. And so he's saying things that they are probably referencing Jehovah. But Jesus is saying, it's me. It's me. Do you understand? I'm the good shepherd, the one that the Old Testament promised you of, that's going to lead you and guide you. It's me in a body. I'm God in a body standing in front of you. And they could not comprehend it. The Bible in verse 6 says, the parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them in verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Everybody say the door of the sheep. You don't have to say that part, but thank you for participating. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then he says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Someone should put a good amen right there. If you enter in through Jesus, you will be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have life more abundantly. He said, I'm a good shepherd. I'm going to lead you to life more abundant. It may not look like the path you would have taken. It may be a little more rocky than what you would have gone down, but I am going to keep you, and I will guide you into a path of abundant life. And I'm so thankful that I can trust him from his word. Amen, someone? And then he talks about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth, and now they're starting to get it. They're like, wait a minute. He is God, and God don't fit in a body. That's blasphemy. They're starting to build their case against Jesus that eventually puts him on this cross. But when he called himself the door, he claimed his own cross. Amen? He said, I'm going to go there for them, And then when I go through it, they can come out. They don't have to go through what I went through. I'm going to take every burden, every sin, every sorrow, and I'm going to make a doorway out of a destructive moment. In Jesus' name, there's power in his words. And he was telling them initially, even in this parable, that I'm going to go through the cross. I'm not stopping there. I'm not going to die and live no more. I'm not going to be buried in a grave. This is going to be a doorway. I'm going to be the firstborn, amen? He's coming out because he needs to, because Adam was the one that fell in the garden and sin was placed on all men. But because of Adam's sin, there was one that needed to do it right, and that was Jesus, who was going to go through the cross. I know that in this moment, there are times when I feel like I need a shepherd to speak to me. And he promises me that he'll come to me at night. When you're laying, I'm telling you, when you're laying in your bed, when you're done with your day, when you've done everything you can do to move the needle or move things forward in your life, and you know God's been with you all day, but when you lay your head down on that pillow, that good shepherd will come and he will check on you. He will come and he will look over your wounds. He will look over your life. He will prepare tomorrow while you're laying there sleeping tonight. God is able to be a good shepherd. I tell you why he's able to be a good shepherd. Because in this parable, he says that he went to the door and the porter opened unto him. He not only has the ability to be the door, he has the ability and the authority to be the opening place for you. He not only is the pathway out, but he is the one who has the authority to give you the pathway out. God is your door. He is your access point to everything that is access in the Word of God. He gives you grace abundantly. He gives you mercy that has no bounds. God is able to do it. So we see in this passage that God is not only the door in Jesus, but God has the authority to open everything that's keeping you back. I'm so thankful that I can understand that God walked to the porter, as it says in that initial verse reading that we did, verse 3, to him the porter openeth. So what they do is they gather the sheep. God checks on the sheep. He makes sure that they're healthy and they're whole, and he puts them away for the night. And it's not just one shepherd's sheep in the pen. It's all the shepherds that are on the hills and the plain. They bring their sheep into the village for the night because they need rest. Because shepherding is hard. You're in the elements. You're not given a task that is easy. You don't get to just lay down and take a nap in the middle of the wilderness. There's places and crevices where sheep can fall off. There's places where animals can crawl up and take sheep. There are robbers and thieves that will come in and steal sheep because they want the meat or the wool. And so the shepherd's job is vigilance. He has to watch over them all day. There's no breaks. He's 24/7. But then when he needs rest, they take them into the village and they check them in and they put them into the pen. And all the sheep mingle, different shepherd's sheep, all in one pen. And so someone said, well, the sheepfold is the church. But that can't be the case, because the next day, the next passage, it says that Jesus comes and he puts them out. And God would never put us out the church, amen? So it can't be the church. The sheepfold is not the church. The sheepfold is representation here of Jewish thinking and the Judaizers. And Jesus has come as the good shepherd to lead people away from Judaism and into salvation through Christ, amen? And so there's places in the Bible that says, I have other sheep who are not in this sheepfold. There's other sheepfolds. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles and other nations and other people all throughout the world. And in the Old Testament, when he says, I am the good shepherd, I am the shepherd that gathers people from every corner of the world and all nations, he's saying, I'm going to guide the Jewish people out of their traditions and into grace and salvation through Christ Jesus. And I'm also going to go get every lost son and daughter who is a Gentile, who's of another culture, of another nation. I'm going to seek them out. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd goes to find his sheep. Amen, somebody? And they know his voice. So he will gather them. He calls us by name. We know his voice.
The good shepherd.
We follow him.
The good shepherd
goes
to find his sheep.
So once he puts all of the sheep into the sheepfold for the night, the shepherds go into the village and rest and get their sleep. They come back the next morning, and they come to the door. There's a porter. There's someone that's a hired hand. Scripture talks about this. Someone who's not the shepherd, but a hired hand. And will not lay down his life for the sheep, but the good shepherd. He'll lay down his life for the sheep. If the Old Testament says that Jehovah is the good shepherd, and Jesus is standing here saying, I am the good shepherd, that is the good shepherd come from heaven above in a body to die for us on the cross. He is not a hireling. He has come to lay down his life for the sheep. It's a picture of the oneness of God. So beautiful. And so we see that they're releasing sheep in the morning. They've come, they put the sheep in at night, checked over them, went to bed, got rest, come back to the door, and the porter will not release sheep to someone who's not their shepherd. And so Jesus walks to the door, and the Bible says in verse 3, the porter goes, yes, you're the right one. You have access. You have the doorway. And if you've ever been in a place where there's a lot of sheep, that shepherd will walk to that door, and he will start calling sheep, and sheep just start moving out of the sheepfold because they know the voice of their master. If we are like sheep, we should know the voice of our master. Amen? And so he calls them, and sheep just start separating, and his sheep just follow him, and he puts them out the door, and then he goes in front of them, and he leads them. And so the sheepfold is a place where we see in verse 3 that God has the ability to not only be the door, but to have the door open to him in whatever situation it is that we struggle with. I don't know what your barricade is. I don't know what blocks you. But this is the picture of Jesus right here. Are you ready for this? See if I can do this without hurting myself. This is the picture of Jesus. He's walking around going, I'm the door. What do you need? What access point are you having trouble with? I'm not only the door, I'm the authority. I can open it. He's walking around in your life going, hey, do you need a door? Do you need an open place? Do you need an opening? Do you need some way out? Just call on me. I'm the door. You don't have to worry about whether you have authority or not. I've got the authority. I'm the way, and I can open the way. That is what he's saying in this passage, that he's able to be the door for us, and he makes a way through that access point. So whenever we see God as a door, we see him standing in our life over whatever is keeping us, whatever you feel trapped by, whatever you feel like you can't move on from. Jesus will show up if you will just surrender to him. He'll show up and he's like, I got a way out. I make the best transitions you've ever seen. I know how to help you through this. I am the door, and I have the proper access.
I have the authority to call that which is not into being. I have the ability to take blind eyes and make them see. Even if they don't have eyes in their head, I will make eyes for them out of clay. Send them to wash. And when they come up, they will be seeing things that they've never seen before because he was born blind. Can you imagine? Whatever he was told things were, now he starts to get a reference point for what they really are. Jesus not only made a door for him, but he gave him the ability to see everything different. And that's what God does for us. This cross is gruesome. This cross was where he shed his blood, where he was stripped and broken. We don't even talk about the medical aspects of what happened to his body because we can't handle the gruesomeness of it. In fact, when they made a movie about it, The Passion of Christ, they had to rate it R because there's so much bloodshed. They said he couldn't even recognize his visage. He was unrecognizable on the cross. And while I've preached on the Mayo Clinic's representation, there's doctors that went over the story of Jesus and from the Mayo Clinic, and they gave the actual medical things that were happening in his body as he hung on the cross. I have preached that over a pulpit before and shared those things, and I have had people watching online that came back and said, I love the sermon until you got to the part where you're telling about Jesus being torn apart. I loved the fact that everything he does for us, but I can really not see all that. But Jesus said, I want you to look at that differently. I want you to see that as not death, not loss, not everything coming to an end, but I want you to see it as a door that looks different than anything else. Yeah, it looks like loss, but it's actually victory. Yeah, it looks like everything is collapsing. It looks like everyone's gone away, ministry falling apart. It looks like everything. Jesus said, even my disciples left me. And all of that happening, and Jesus says, I want you to see this differently. Because on the other side of this cross is a world saved by grace. A world saved by my sacrifice. And so Jesus gives us an understanding that he is the great shepherd. Of course, we know many reference points would have happened here for the Pharisees when he was talking about shepherds. They know Abraham was a shepherd. They know that Isaac was a shepherd. They know Jacob was a shepherd. They know that Moses kept sheep on the backside of Midian and the flock that he kept of a family member, and they know King David was a shepherd boy. And so when you look in the Old Testament, David is probably the one that's most prolific about talking about a shepherd. In Psalms 23, we know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. All of these things are about the shepherd. Psalm 77:20, the Lord leads his people. Thou leadest or leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 79:13, we are his people. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bear. It's supposed to be 79:13. I'm sorry. Sometimes I send texts in the morning and I miss a number. If you'd give me 79:13, I'd appreciate that. He says that we are the sheep of his pasture. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praises to all generations. Psalms 80, look at David just talking about the good shepherd. He says that, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. thou that dwelleth between the cherubims, shine forth. Jesus is speaking in 9 that I'm the light, I can give sight, and then he goes into this parable, and they still haven't caught it yet. They still haven't seen the picture yet, and they should have referenced Psalms. They should have seen all of this. In Ezekiel, he talks about bad shepherds. There are not just good shepherds, but there are bad shepherds. In Old Testament times, he talked about there's going to be many bad shepherds in the Old Testament. And he's directing that at the Pharisees. And he also gives reference to a shepherd that is to come that is another bad shepherd. And that is the Antichrist that's going to lead people astray. But we believe in this place that he's speaking here, that he's saying, if you are my children, you won't be led astray because you know my voice. Every one of those sheep in that sheepfold that didn't come out when the shepherd started calling them was not that shepherd's sheep because they knew his voice. And I can tell you, it gives comfort to our heart that when we pray over people and we pray over friends and we pray over children, that we know that if we have put the word of God in their heart and we have led them to God and brought them to altars and prayed over them and spent time in the word with them, that there will be a place where they will recognize that voice is not the voice of God. That voice is not leading me to good. I will follow the voice of Jesus. And so John 10, Jesus is that good shepherd. And he is the door, and he has authority to give us access to whatever we need. And so Ephesians finishes saying that he has access to all things. In Matthew 9, Jesus is the shepherd who has pity on the people because they are like sheep without a shepherd. In Luke 12, his true disciples are those of his own little flock. And then in 1 Peter 2:25, I like this one a lot. Help me out, team. 1 Peter 2:25, that it talks about him being the shepherd of our souls. And I just, there we are. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Souls is your mind. Souls is the center part, the eternal part of you. And so God not only shepherds your salvation of your soul, but he shepherds your mind and your thinking. And I'm thankful that God does this because sometimes thoughts can get in the way of what I want God to do. And he reminds me again, rest, relax into me, relax into the trust that you have for me, that I am the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20 says, and I am the great shepherd of the sheep. I will take care of you. And John 10 is a beautiful passage. You can read the rest of it where it continues on and talks about him being the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and he knows us, and we are known by him. I'm so thankful that I'm known by him. In all my days, he's allowed me to know him and be known by him. Would you stand with me in this place? So we see the contrast of the Pharisees, who are not good shepherds. They're just taking advantage of the people, to Jesus, who is the true shepherd. And in Zechariah, it gives a list of what the true shepherd does. Zechariah 11:15. After talking about foolish shepherds, it's saying that they won't do these things. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. The next verse is talking about, I can turn there. It's talking about the things that the foolish shepherd does. And it says that the foolish shepherd does not care for perishing. He does not seek the scattered. He does not heal the broken. And he does not sustain the ones that are standing. In other words, when God is in the house, when God steps in, the good shepherd, there's care for those that are perishing. And there is care, and God will seek out the young ones or those that are scattered because they don't know not to walk away. And then when God's in the house, there will be healing for the broken. And when God's in the house, there will be sustaining power for those that stand throughout their day. Those that live, he's got authority to open the door, and he is that door when we don't have a way out. I'm so thankful that even though he calls me his sheep, he calls me by name. I don't know anyone in here that doesn't have an animal that's not named. If you have a dog, you named him, right? I bet if you had a goldfish, you named him. Because we need to name things. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. You're not uncommon to me. You're not unfamiliar to me. The things that you struggle with the most, I know about. The things that hurt you, the things that are triggers for you because of past difficulties. He goes, I know them, I soothe them, and I care for them. I know you. You don't have to hide what you struggle with. You don't have to hide where you fall down at times, because he knows. He takes you in his hands and he says, I will clean off the things that are hindering you. I know you better than anybody else. I know you from top to bottom, from side to side. And that gives me comfort, because he comes with the authority to heal. He comes with the authority to change. And he comes with the authority to give me access to whatever I need. I end today with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. This is a wonderful passage of scripture. But in verse 18, he says, after saying that he came to preach peace to you who were afar off. He's like, you were distant, but I sought you out and I brought you nigh. In verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no longer strangers, or no more strangers and foreigners, but we have been brought in. This passage uses fellow citizens in the household of God, that we are built up on a foundation that will last forever. And we have access to all of that through the power of God's Spirit. Today I pray over you, Jesus, would you give someone that's needing you the ability to trust you that you have their best interests? Someone that's needing you to trust you that you're going to take care of everything that's standing in the way right now. God, I pray you will help us to know that you are the door, you are the way maker. I preach to you, to people today that know that God has their best in mind. He's made plans for them, and whatever they get stuck in, you have to just reach down and say, that's my sheep. They need to be released. There's no doorkeeper that can keep those that are his. There's no blockage. There's no trap set. There's no way where there's not a way with God. There's no holding back the people of God in the places that we understand. He is our way maker. He's our way out. And no matter how many times we've knocked on some doors, thinking God would open them by now, when he walks to the door, it swings open. It has to go. There is nothing that can keep us from what God wants to do. And so I claim it in the name of Jesus for every soul in this place, that you would show yourself strong this week as the good shepherd. And those that struggle with anxiety or that struggle with depression, I bind it in the name of Jesus, because you are the one that God looks over at night. He watches over you as you sleep. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He carries you in and he takes care of you. He's going to help you. I plead the blood over finances. I plead the blood over homes and lives, over minds. Be the shepherd of our souls today, God, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Would you lift your hands all over the room for just a minute? And would you thank him for being the door in your life? When everyone thought you weren't getting out, you had a different door. When everyone thought it was never going to change, your door looked different than what they thought it was going to be. You found through humility, and you found through surrender that he's your way out. You're welcome to pray today. You can sit and pray if you want to, but take a minute in God's presence and just thank him for every time he opened the way for you. Thank him for every time he made a way out of no way. I would that somebody would find a place to kneel and just reverence God for a minute. Just reverence the Lord for a minute for all that he's done for us. He's been so faithful. He's been so faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
All my life you have been
faithful. You've been that good shepherd for me, Jesus. You've been that door through the cross again and again when I've slipped up. You've been that door and access point for salvation, mercy, and grace every morning.
I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I am living in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.